It was muted.
Okay.
Anyway, it's be in the house of the Lord again tonight. You know, it's an honor to stand here, you know. No preacher. I ask you to just bear with me tonight. You know, the one thing that we have that is a constant, if we open the Bible and we come together as a group of people to listen to the Word of God and to be blessed by it, you won't leave disappointed. Sometimes some people have a polished delivery and know how to do it. I'm certainly not going to do that tonight. But what we can do is, the Word says, if wherever two are gathered in my name, He will be there with us. So He will be. And this is going to be a special few days for us leading up to the revival. You know, there's two things that we can put under the category of revival. There's a revival in the church, where the church itself is brought back as a group of people that are brothers and sisters in Christ, brought back to a position to where it's a joy to come together. The unity is stronger than before. The joy of the Lord is in everybody's heart, and we've done that many times here at New Hope, been through some revivals, just wonderful revivals. It's a great, great thing for the church. But in order to have a revival for the church that'll sweep through the church, each person that is a member of the church that attends the revivals is a candidate for personal revival. So whenever we get ready for a revival, we know that Brother Malcolm and Ernie, you know, we've known Brother Malcolm, some of us, for 20 years. He started out as a young man, preaches the Word of God, and he will have a message that is expressly for the people here at New Hope when he comes. It'll be a message from God. As Malcolm has said, sometimes you just don't go into a church and just open your book and start preaching a sermon, you know, like that. You have to know what's going to be appropriate for the church at that time. And you bring the Word. I know He'll do that. So we're going to be blessed. But the personal aspect of revival is each one of us. We've heard that old saying, you can get a circle. As we discuss some of these things tonight, you can get a circle and put yourself right in the middle of it. Because the revival is not something that we say, well, it would be great if he could get revived, or he or something like that. Maybe he'd be a better Christian. We try to ourselves in a revival, try to reignite the flames of passion in our heart and for our love for the Lord and the things like that. So it's we have two of them a year, and it's a great thing for the church. And you know, it's just go along that line. Wouldn't it be great when we get revived, and you have that man, I'm on my way to church, and I'm happy about it, and you're listening to the Christian radio station, and everything is good. To maintain that passion for the Lord. And Brother Stephen had told us, and let's carry that with us here as we prepare and as we go through the revival, is to saturate yourself with the Word of God. And as you saturate the Word of God, and you know it, meditate on it. How does that truth from the Word of God touch me in my life, and how am I supposed to live to be obedient to that in my life? And after you do that, you memorize that scripture so you can hide it in your heart for those moments that you can use that to minister to other people. So a revival, if it can stoke the flames in our heart to where that fire can stay lit, can the Holy Spirit cause that to happen in our life? Yes, it can. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, the revival. In the aspect of a personal revival, I'm going to read from the book of Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. Let's pray that the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Father, I thank You, Lord, for this time that You've brought us together, Lord. And I ask You, Lord, to use me tonight, Lord, in spite of my nervousness, Lord, and and all those things. So I pray that you'll take that away, Lord, and allow me to preach the Word of God tonight, Father. Pray that you'll bless it, Lord. May it be a blessing to our lives, and help us, Lord, as we go through these days of preparation for revival, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. And verse 8. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. What a beautiful verse that is. They say that the Scripture says that when we get to heaven, there'll be a river that flows from the throne of God, and we'll be beside the river. And that song we says, "Step out a little bit deeper." That's that river that we're going to step into. And in Ezekiel, it talks about that river, about how we can go out ankle deep and say, I want more. And then you go knee deep and I want more. And you can go all the way up until you're swimming in it. And it's that river that flows from the throne of God. And this I was thinking about that when I was comparing this here in Jeremiah. What he's talking about is a man that trusts God, and certainly a woman that trusts God, and whose hope the Lord is. You know, we sing, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' righteousness. So aspect of our life, that we trust him. We trust him with our lives and who we are, and we have complete trust in him and faith in him. Then when we stand in that relationship with him, here's what he gives us in return for being a faithful person. But like a tree, you know, here in Texas, we saw that the drought that came through here a few years ago, and all the trees and everything died, except for those trees that somehow were near water. And you could see the pine trees that were standing and doing great. There was an underground source of water nearby that they were able to draw from. And it said that he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers. You know, in everybody's life, there's going to be droughts. There's going to be hardships and things like that. And when those happen in our life, we always have, if we're walking with the Lord, he's going to be there with us to bring us through these things. If we trust him, it'll be like we have planted our roots deep where the water is. Amen. You ever had something happen in your life where you, oh, what am I going to do? The strain, the pressure. Maybe it's been out of work for a period of time. Maybe it's bad health. There's so many things. And in this room tonight, I've seen people here that could give testimonies about the things that have come into their life. Isn't it great that when you trust the Lord, and you know that you're in a relationship with him, that when the river dries up, that you're still okay. You're trusting him. And this life-giving flow of God's going to take care of it. I trust him. And you're going to be okay. You know, revival is for the church, and it's for each of us individually, so we can get back to that place where the world we live in doesn't scare us anymore. Because we're pilgrims passing through, aren't we?
Amen.
So a revival is, wouldn't it be wonderful? And someday, when we stand around the throne, we'll be in a constant state of worship and praise and life everlasting with the Lord. But in this earth, we have to walk through a place that is sinful, and the things that we see and the things that we encounter ourselves. Sometimes we need to be able to draw on this water that the Lord has for us. So our leaf will be green constantly. Thinking about that, about the what an awesome thing that is to just see that. How, regardless of the circumstances of life, I'm reminded in Philippians. Karen is going through a study in that, and I don't know if they've got to this part yet, but it's. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, that's a verse that's been misunderstood by a lot of folks. It's like I is the key word in that verse. If you read it incorrectly, and you say I can do all things, but actually what it means is that he can do all things through me. I can do all things through Christ. And what are these things? Paul was talking about being able to go through the hardships and the burdens of life that Paul could. He wrote letters talking about all the hard things that he was going, and we see it in the scripture. Paul went through some hard times. He was saying these times would cause him to be imprisoned, beaten, and shipwrecked, and all the different things that could happen. But he had been through those things, and he knew that I can do all things. Seems the message I'm talking to all of us tonight is if we stay in relationship with the Lord, I can do all things. I can go through the times when the river is empty. I can go through the times when the river is full. I can go through the times when my health is not too good. And I can go through the times when I'm in the hospital and I don't know if I'm going to come out or not. He can do these things for us because of the water that he gives us, the faith that he gives us. Now, with this in mind, let's dig a little bit deeper into that. The relationship that we have with him is based on obedience. But he loves us, and we're obedient to the Word of God. We try to through the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to even attempt to live a Christian life. To do it, to live a life that's pleasing to him. And when we do that, we're in close fellowship with him. And the things of this world are distant from us. Revival comes in a church because it's sort of like that. You ever had a coffee cup that had a crack in it, but it was your favorite cup, and you just kept that cup, and you set it on the counter. And you'll see a ring there where it leaked out. And you said, oh, I must have leaked the little coffee and it got down. But finally, you say, well, my cup has a crack in it. You know, back in the old days, the word sincere. This is a Sunday school thing. Sincere, it means without wax. If you had people would do if they had a vessel and they wanted to sell it to you, they would put wax in the crack and they would paint it and everything would look nice and they'd sell it to you. And the first time you put something hot into it, it would go all over the place because the wax melted. So what is sincere? It's a sincere love for the Lord that bears the test of time, for obedience is something that you practice in your life. I've got a list of verses here, and this is going to be a short message tonight. It's something that this is more along the lines of a personal revival. That circle around that I'll draw around myself up here and each one of you to see and let these verses, if you want to write them down, if you've got them memorized already, Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. You know, in Psalms 139, that's a chapter of the Bible that has special meaning to me. We had gone a long time without being grandparents. And Ryan's wife, Latricia, came over, and we went to a restaurant, and she said that she was pregnant. Oh, yeah. That was. And then I, in the course of talking to her, had mentioned to her Psalms 139, and it's about we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and all the promises that God gives us about how He forms a child in the womb. The omnipotent, all-powerful God, how he forms these marvelous little babies. It's y'all bear with me because I was looking in the New Testament for Psalms. Obviously, I'm a little bit nervous. Do y'all know what I mean about being nervous? I guess I always say that, so bear with me on that. I'm going to, when he says here, Psalms 130, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." The truth is that God is omniscient. He knows everything anyway. He knows our hearts. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So when the psalmist was here saying, "Search me, O God, and know my heart," what was he doing? He was laying himself out for the Lord. And God knows it anyway. Can we keep a secret from God? Is there something that any of us in here, remember, we're talking about ourselves, is there anything in here that in order for the revival to come and affect you personally, that you need to lay down and get out of your life? It's easier when you have just a circle because you only have to look at yourself. And asking God to search you could be, you know, that the Holy Spirit that all believers have, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. You're not loving the way you should. Like Pastor Stephen said, how he got beat up when he was reading 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And God can do that to you. And then a real revival can come in your life. Is there somebody here in the fellowship of the church here now that you haven't spoke to? When you see them coming down, you go down the side aisle. If there is, this is the time to revive and get that behind you. You know, we're to love one another. And there's all these things that when you ask the Lord to search and volunteer that and listen to what God has to say. And He will tell you, because if you really want to know, the Lord through His Holy Spirit will prompt your heart. Psalm 123, verse 24. See if there is any wicked way within me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Again, a voluntary to. Is there something that is that needs my attention? And Psalm 26, verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. That's the inner man, the man that only you know. Only you know what's within you. And when the inner man, maybe it is something that in your life that you haven't even confessed to yourself. Something that God can take care of. This has been a sort of a, when you preach, you know, you have to digest it before you talk. So I was sitting there today. Karen had some things she had to do, and I was at home by myself getting ready. And these things are, for a believer, are very important things. And I think sometimes we forget. We forget how important our personal walk with the Lord is. Proverbs 16:25. And the reason it can be such a hardship to understand these things is because Proverbs 16:25 says, "There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death." It just seems so right to have all the things that we have. In our flesh, it's normal. So that's what a revival does. It points us towards the things that we need to be about in the Lord's business. When we come to the point of the Lord has given us the instructions, we know what he's going to tell us. Maybe we've had a problem we weren't aware of until the Lord pointed out to us. What do we do then when we know that we've got a sin that we haven't dealt with? What's the first step that we have to do? We have to confess it. We have to let it's a sin against you. It's an affront to you, and it's something that has caused a division from us to where we can't have sweet fellowship anymore. And it can be a simple thing to you, but Maybe it's something that if you lay it down, you'll realize how big it was all the time. Boy, it's quiet in here. Nobody's even coughing. You know? Let's look at this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful to do that. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and the word is not in us. You know, it's pretty easy to... I think sometimes, you know, if you've been in church a long time and you're pretty familiar with how church goes, it's easy to forget that the instructions that the Lord has for us about how to live a life that's pleasing to Him are just as important when we first get saved, when we're getting rid of a lot of the things that we didn't know were wrong until we got saved, you know. So here now and things, because it just seems right? And what could be wrong with that? Jeremiah again, verse 17. Verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah was saying, and he was, how can you know your heart? There's only one way we can know our heart, and that's the Lord, the Holy Spirit has to reveal it to us. Something that may seem so right in our life of the way we're living, or something gets ingrained in our personality or something like that. You know, this is not one of those smile messages here, but this is sort of what Brother Stephen does too. The Word of God requires us to respond to it. And if we're going to be revived, we need to come before the Lord with clean hands, ready to receive from Him what He has for us. And He'll be faithful to do that. The men that are coming, Malcolm, evangelist, he preaches all over the state and all over the United States. He works all the time, and he's a wonderful guy. We've got the sign out there telling people that are passing by to stop. Each person that sees that, reads the sign, has something transacted in their brain when they see it. It could be that, you know, I ought to go. I haven't been to church in a long time. I ought to go. We need to pray for those people, that the ones that have seen the sign would feel this drawing of the Holy Spirit to get them. You know, I don't know why I came today. Maybe it was that sign that I passed by all week. Pray for those folks that they'll come in and pray that God will bring people in with an excitement about revival. The ones that I'm not about a small crowd. This is probably a normal Wednesday crowd in the middle of summer. But people that have not been here for a while, pray. Maybe make some phone calls to get them to come. And because this is a revival, to revive the church, but I think a personal revival. If each one of us will go through this coming week with anticipation of what God's going to do in our life, that He's going to do something, He can do something in church, and pray for that God will move in our midst. And He'll do it. You know, but we have Ernie and Malcolm, we've got the sign outside, and all these things are things that you do to prepare for a revival. But the real preparation is going to come between now, if you haven't already been preparing your heart, between now and Sunday, so that you'll be ready to receive what God has for you. Only God can bring a revival. Only God can do that. You know, aren't you glad that he designed it that way? A lot of people, you know, they have a revival, and what they want is to be entertained with good music, maybe, and things like that. But what God wants to do is to revive our hearts and bring us closer to Him.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Told you to be short and sweet. I don't know how sweet it was. That can be a bitter word, you know, but it is important.
Amen.
It is important for us to examine ourselves. One of the verses I read, and I didn't talk about it, was it's test me. You know, silver melts at a low temperature. You can put it in a crucible and bring it up to temperature, and you can get it out. It's a precious metal, though. Silver was really precious back in those days. But gold, no. Gold, to get it pure, you put it in a furnace, very high heat, and it melts it, and the dross comes off the top, and you have pure. You know, the heat is what makes it, purifies it. In some way, responding to the word that God has for you does the same thing. It will bring that out. It'll purify. And a pure heart can do great things, great works for the Lord. Amen. Anybody have anything to... Well, it's like Sunday school right now. Does anybody have anything to add? Pretty much. Okay. All right. Well, that's it for tonight, folks. Do we have any prayer requests? Anything anybody...